Dear Lord Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. You've brought people together on a Saturday night to praise you, Father, to praise you and to give you thanks for what you've already done 2,000 years ago and even before. But, Father, I thank you that in Jesus, say it with me, in Jesus, I live and move. And I have my being. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be conquered. I cannot be conquered. I'm a stranger to defeat. And hallelujah. I'm a stranger to defeat. I'm a stranger to defeat. And I thank you, Father. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And you say, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a special presence of the Lord. A year ago now, I didn't know if I'd ever stand behind a pulpit. But I now know I can. And the anointing is increasing, not just in my life, but in your lives. If you believe the word of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I cannot be conquered. I'm a stranger to defeat. And by his riches in glory, he does supply all of my needs. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. I've asked Sarah back there. Yes, I like that too. To play the Rhine, what is it? Yeah, on the Hallelujah Chorus. Now, we've got a presence. We've got his presence in here tonight. If you want to rejoice a little bit while some of the world is just shopping and doing other things tonight, let's just give him glory. I mean, you read Isaiah 6. It ain't a quiet place up there, you know? So if you're waiting to go to quiet and peace, I'm telling you, heaven's anointed. And it is a noisy place. But it's a good noisy. So stand to your feet, and I want to hear this Hallelujah Chorus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Body of Christ, arise. Begin to come in. All of you from the outskirts of this town and all the towns these people are from, begin to rise up, body of Christ. Begin to rise up and be what you've been put on this earth to do. That in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, yes, Father. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Father. Come with me, honey. I may fall down, but I want you with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take the bass off. Yes, sir. Yes, Father. Yes. Father, we celebrate your goodness. We thank you, Father God. We are just as alive as those shepherds were that night. That Father, just as the wise men came probably 2 years later, they celebrated. They celebrated and they worshiped you. They're not afraid to worship, Father. Not afraid to be what you called them to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Yella, touch somebody while you're here. Shut your eyes and touch somebody right now in the name of Jesus. Let the hallelujahs ring, Father, all over this city right now. Right now, Father, people begin to sing and say hallelujah. They don't even know why they're saying it. But oh, ho, wonderful season, wonderful time. To remember how how wonderful it was to have Jesus, God Almighty, come to the earth. Come to the earth. Come to the earth. Yelada in a baby. In a baby. That's so conrabete. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. They're getting excited, Lord. They're getting excited. I can just hear it right now, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. May the town, may the city of this city, and he shall reign forever and ever. May this city begin to know it. He shall reign. He shall reign over Des Moines, Iowa. He will be a part of Indianola. He'll be a part of Hedrick, Iowa. He'll be a part of Ottumwa, Iowa. The presence of Almighty God, where people shout and sing hallelujah, and they're not strange. And the world calls you peculiar, but you're not strange to Almighty God. Begin to know that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is in any town in which you live, because you live there, because you give him great honor and homage to the name that's above every name. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Worthy of praise and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the hallelujahs ring all over this earth this night, this day, these days, these seasons, this season, Father. A Holy Ghost season, worshiping God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in the days ahead, those who will remain silent will leave the earth quickly, not just as before, but as the days go by, the joy and unspeakable and full of glory will begin to envelop any place where you begin to praise me like you praised me this night. A hallelujah, a loud hallelujah, not just a silent one, but a loud one, and will be heard not only by people, but by the heavenlies. Yeloso kondra nete. It is a time for my people to rejoice like never before. When it's the darkest of night, my light will shine forth out of you. So quit being tired. Quit being tired. Quit being tired. Let that lethargy fall off of you and begin to rise to how I've told you to stay, how I've told you to rejoice in the joy of my being, in the name of Jesus. Basoko dedete yelana masokondrabete eta yeshtana. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, baby. This is my handsome husband of 63 years. He's only 85. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You can sit down if you can. If you want to stand, that's fine too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Almost like this is a prayer meeting tonight. But in the name of Jesus, Father, have your way. Have your way in this place, Father. Thank you, Lord. Back there, before I forget it, back there on where the music is, are sheets of talking about being a watchman decree. Have you heard that? Of the watchman decree over the house, over the nation, I should say. And also our newsletter is back there also. Help yourself. If you didn't get one in the mail, help yourself. That watchman's decree is on that. Also, at the bottom of the newsletter, first of all, there's a page that talks about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is so prevalent right now, has been for quite some time now. It's almost like it just wants to keep going, even though the disease has left in a lot of places. However, the fear remains, and so we need to speak. We need to speak words of healing wherever we go, and also begin to think about what you're thinking on. Begin to think about what you're thinking on. The peace of God that passes all understanding has to be on us for these days that we're in right now. But when you lose your peace, the enemy wants to come in. An untrained or an unrenewed mind in a Christian right now, without that, it makes an open door for the enemy. The peace of God leaves, the enemy tries to come in. But you see, the unrenewed mind, the mind that has not used the word to walk in or to read, doing it every day, that mind will be opened to the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he tried to do to us. But in the name of Jesus, we're still here. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is so good to see your faces. I may not remember all of your names, but boy, I sure love your faces. Praise God. It's in the morning, I'm going to talk about the attacks of the enemy that are trying to come against the body of Christ. And I want to share more about that with you. But I want to share a little bit about our story, and maybe you've heard part of it or not. But it's been a year that we've been back home. But it took almost a whole year for these bodies to heal. Now, I do believe I was saved from death. I had a nurse come in. At one of the places, I was airlifted to Columbia, Missouri, and it's a teaching hospital and so forth. Did not realize until this summer, after being home, the children began, because they were there with us and checking on us and so forth. And in one of those places, a nurse came into the room. She put her hand on her hip, and I said, and she didn't say anything. She just looked at me. And I said, is there something I can help you with? I'm laying in bed, you know, kind of thing. And she said, I'm a traveling nurse. I've just been assigned to this hospital. And she said, the last place where I was at, not only me, there were other people with me, had 26 COVID patients. All but one of them died. And she said, I've come to look at you. I've read your chart. She says, you are a miracle. You cannot believe what you have been through, and you're still alive. So the enemy tried really, really hard. Didn't know until this summer that the Lord, that the kids begin to share things. Like they would call and give a report. She has a 4 to 5% chance of living. My veins collapsed. They had to go in partial, I can't think what they call it now, but anyway, they went into my neck to go into the jugular vein to keep me alive, the whole thing. But you see, I knew in my spirits, when you're in a place like that, your spirit has to grow. Your spirit is strong when you go into it, but your spirit has to arise to the occasion to take authority over the dominance of the flesh that's trying to die off. I'm so thankful that the word of God about healing was stored there. And in times I knew my spirit was working much stronger than my flesh or my soulish realm. And it was good to know that word, the good word of the Lord, was there. Now, some of you have been through some of these things that I'm talking about, but there's a time for us to begin to recognize our strength like never before. Like never before. Amen. Thank you for that hearty amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. I want to do something. I found a book by Rick Renner. Have you seen it? It's a big book. A big Christmas book. And it's just a beautiful book in pictures and in content. So tonight, I'll be just a little calmer than normal and tell you a little bit more about the Christmas story. Is that all right with you? All right. 700 years, and again, I always prided, before COVID, I prided for having a good memory. So I had to use my notes a little bit more longer than what I, unless I'm in the Spirit. There are times when I'd just rather be in the Spirit. Because I know that the people of God have got to know what great gifts they have on the inside of them. No weapon formed. And I kept saying that during those days. No weapon formed against me. There's been a weapon formed, but there's no weapon formed against me that shall ever prosper. There was one time when I can remember, I was not conscious, but I can remember this memory I had of saying, well, I'm 81. You know, I lived a good long life. I think I just want to go home. And I can remember saying that out loud to myself. I mean, I wasn't awake or anything. And I called the nurse and I said, I think I'd rather go home. Well, I didn't realize that there were a couple times when they had to call the family and to get permission to run that, whatever they call, down in your throat. I still have a bruise from doing that, so forth. And Lord Jesus, just so many things there, Lord. So many things. Thank you, Father. I'm okay. I've got about 22 things going through my head right now. Not my head, through my spirit. People, we need to learn how to walk in this spirit life more so than the natural life. We'll surprise ourselves. But anyway, going on with my story, I called the nurse and I said, I think I'd just rather go home. She said, well, you'll have to wait. The doctor is out to lunch. I mean, I had this little thing going on in my head, but I was not awake. And I said, I think I want to go home. She said, you can't do that until the doctor gets back. You know, I talked to him about that. And by the time the doctor got back, I was ready to live and not die. But there were times they gave my family 4 to 5% chance that I would live. And there were one of those times when Gary woke up in the bed and sat straight up. And he called my name. He wasn't anywhere around, but in the spirit realm, I heard him. It woke him up so strong, he sat straight up in bed, he said. So we've talked about the different things that we've gone through when you come that close to death. About a year ago, before COVID, I'll say, I was ready to walk down a hallway in our house, and Copeland was saying something, so I stopped and turned to look at the television. And as I did, I saw a pair of big shoes sitting right in front of me, and I thought, that's strange. Gary never leaves his big shoes sitting out. And then when I turned back around, the Lord said, you'll walk in bigger shoes in the days ahead. Now, bigger is not necessarily for the world's sake, but bigger by what the direction that he's taking us. There's some plans. There's some great plans in this room tonight for things that you're about to do, if you will step out to do them. And it goes kind of along with the Christmas story here. But anyway, a lot of this material I got from Rick Renner, because he's a pastor. He's been a pastor in Russia for 30 years. Some of his ushers are KGB, former KGB people. And he has now recently got Russian citizenship as well as American citizenship. He's a scholar in Hebrew and Greek. And he makes the story, the Christmas story, even come more alive. But he said approximately 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet Micah predicted by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come forth from Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. In order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, God chose to put the whole world in movement just to get Mary and Joseph into Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. The census decree from Caesar Augustus was the catalyst that brought this all about. This demonstrates that God will do anything necessary to get you where you need to be. It's very important for us to be in the place we're supposed to be, whether it's the church house or it's the country. Gary and I have been privileged to be in 30-some nations now. But you see, when we do, and when we hear God and we obey, the anointing for that country starts building in you till you get there. I take a map and I stand on the map where that country is. And I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give me all those that will come to you. Give them all, Father, to you. But use me to come to them so they will not be in darkness any longer. Well, anyway, praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That demonstrates that God will be doing anything necessary to get you where you need to be. Ever got so you can't hardly see when you're under the anointing? It's just, you're kind of a blur once in a while. Then you come real strong, straight, and it's not anything physical. It's by the Spirit of God. How many of you want that? How many of you want to be pleasing to God? Pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. God will do anything necessary to get you where you need to be. As a matter of fact, if it's needed, God will still today inconvenience people and change their plans in order to fulfill His plan and destiny for your life. I've learned more in the last 2 months than I have learned for many years, and we've been in ministry for 47 years. God's increasing the knowledge base in us, not just so that we know or can get a degree, but because He wants us to begin to walk and what He's called us to be. Hallelujah. That anointing's still here. Thank you, Lord. Even though I go from here and there and everywhere, that's somebody described me that she said, oh, you're kind of like Billy Brim, you know, here, there, and everywhere, and you don't know where it's all going to end. But anyway, amazing story. And Luke 2:4 says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. When the Bible says Joseph went up, it is literally referring to the elevation of Jerusalem, about 6 miles from his destination. Bethlehem, which was geographically higher than the city of Nazareth. The journey that Mary and Joseph set out on, was a long, long, difficult trip. Woman, 9 months, ready to have a baby. They recognized it's probably 70 to 90 miles. That's how far it was from where they were at. And anyway, every time, can you imagine a woman on the back of a donkey? You know about that, don't you, dear? I mean, carrying a child in the last month of pregnancy. And it would take them maybe, if she wasn't pregnant, 4 to 7 days to get up there by a donkey. But it took quite a while to get there. There was nothing easy about this trip, but was part of the plan. Can you say plan? I don't think they heard you. Plan of God for them and for me. Okay. This tells us that not only will God inconvenience people, change their plans in order to fulfill His plan on your life, He will also inconvenience you and change your plans in order to get you where you need to be to fulfill the call of God on your life. Think of a time later in Jesus' life when he faced the cross, including a Roman scourging, and torturous death. It was all so horrific, but it was part of God's plan to redeem man through Jesus Christ. And as you serve God and be a part of God's plan to redeem man through Jesus Christ, and as you serve God, you need to know that there may be hard things that you need to do in order to get where you need to be. But if you're willing and obedient, God will supernaturally empower you to do whatever you need to do to fulfill his plan and his purpose for your life. Many times when I have gone past the cemetery where all my family is born, and the day that I opened the door of the car, when I stopped at this cemetery, I began to weep. I'm not a real weeper. I just tell people I've raised 13 kids, so your weeping machine kind of dries up along the way. You don't get too excited. But I said, Lord, why am I weeping? And he said, for the callings and the giftings that went to the grave were never used for my purpose or my plan. And so at 82 years of age, I know there's more for this vessel to do. It's not how great I art, it's how good God is, even to people of my age. Life is not over at 82. I do believe Genesis, I think it's 6, where it really is 120 years that we should live. Science has now come out. I heard it on the television. Science has said the body was created to live about 120 years. Praise God. So it's not over just because you're in your 80s. Hallelujah. And get over, quit blending in with all of them. Well, you know, that's what it is. When you get to be our age, this is what we do. Don't listen to it. Don't agree with it. Get to the place where I have the mind of Christ. That's what, I mean, you need to tell you have a good, sound mind in the mind of Christ. Wow. Make you understand that word of God that has escaped you so far. Hallelujah. There's little pieces of the scripture I'm now getting revelation on before, like never before. Lord, why didn't you do it sooner when I had more energy? He knew the anointing. He knew the anointing. See, if it's not alive in you, it won't bring life to other people. It has to be alive in you. And for some instances, it's just walking through it. When God told me at the kitchen sink in 1982, go make yourself available to Jerry and Jim Zirkle in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I said, God, we're Iowa farm people. Where our roots go to China, you know. That's what he used to tell his children, that the roots went to China. But anyway, God didn't say anything more. Gary came in 2 hours later in December. It was December 2nd, 1982. And he came in, he said, he'd been outside, it was really cold, and he's drinking coffee, and he said, wouldn't it be fun to go to Tulsa and help Jerry Zirkle? I just thought I was going to fall apart, because in 2 hours, God gave us this assignment. December 2nd, that was. By December 23rd, we were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And within January 6th, I was working. Gary had a job in 24 hours. It was such a God thing. Was it easy? No, it was not easy. We were sitting under a prophet gift that was trying to pastor, and he'd stand up and say, I don't know how to pastor, but I know how to praise and worship God. He was also a psalmist. And we learned, because music has always been where I love to be. I love music. And I'd sing. So many times I would sing in those early days, but if I talked, everybody knew I didn't know too much word. But when I began to know the word, the songs, the words of the songs were more in line with the word of God. But God has a plan. And it was an example for us that it was inconvenience. And I won't get any further into that story. For a person in good shape, Mary and Joseph, an average of 20 miles per day. And the trip would have normally taken about 4 days, but it took much longer. Hallelujah. Think of a time later in Jesus' life when he faced the cross, including a Roman scourging and torturous death. It is also horrific, but it was part of God's plan to redeem man through Jesus Christ. As you serve God, you need to know that there may be hard things you need to do in order to be in the center of the center of the center of God's plan. In that place, there's full provision. The anointing increases and the gift of God on the inside of you makes room for itself every place you go. Every place you go. Walmart. You see, when the light of God's going through you on a daily basis and you walk into a place like Walmart, they look at you like, you know, it's like it's, we got a neon sign on the side of us, on the inside of us. It shines. God's word makes you shine. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." See, this is that hour. This is the hour for the body of Christ to shine like never before and not to be afraid of what's ahead. And there's some hard things ahead for this nation. However, we're different than the rest of the world. We are the light of this world because Jesus Christ resides in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were willing to obey God. Joseph and Mary were willing to obey God. And because they had a heart to follow, God did whatever was necessary to get them where they needed to be, which in this case was the little town of Bethlehem. Now, this is kind of interesting. Never heard this before. It is important to note that the name Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. In John's gospel, Jesus repeatedly stated in various things that I am the bread, that bread which came down from heaven. Jesus literally is the living bread that came from heaven, was even born in Bethlehem, which was named the house of bread. In Bethlehem, the name means house of bread. With a pinpoint precision, God fulfilled his prophecy, delivered through Micah, and supernaturally birthed in Bethlehem salvation and deliverance for the entire world in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Joseph obeyed the Roman decree and arrived in Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. When the Bible says Mary was great with child, the Greek word used in the original text means she was very pregnant, very far along for a pregnancy. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Then it happened, the miracle happened. Occurred that people are still celebrating and worshiping God for all over the world some 2,000 years. They're still celebrating. They're still celebrating. Yeah, I know it's taken a crazy twist, you know. They're doing crazy things at Christmas time, doing sinful things Christmas time. But they still recognize there's something special about Christmas. They just ain't got it yet. And we're here to tell them what happened at Christmas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting anything out of this? Amen. Hallelujah. And Luke 2:7 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." The word firstborn is a Greek word which literally means that there's other children that came. The fact that he was, a lot of people preach that Jesus was the only child. But in the Bible, it talks about Joseph, James, Jude, and Simeon, and Simon, along with at least two sisters in Matthew 13. But Luke 2:7 tells us that when Jesus was born in that cave, wasn't a barn, in that cave in Bethlehem, Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. These words are quoted with regularity by adults and children alike when they tell the Christmas story. At church, the school programs, in homes, everywhere, these words have been joyfully repeated time and again. But I want to tell you, to ask you, do you know what swaddling clothes are? And what the manger where Jesus was placed really looked like? Most people base their mental images of the Christmas story on paintings, on greeting cards they have seen. And they assume what they are seeing is an accurate description. But it isn't, because artists want to put as much of the story as possible on a single canvas so they can show you what happened. But when we take a deeper look at the story, we find that most of these paintings and greeting cards, although beautiful and regrettably wrong, because they didn't all appear there at once. The wise men, or the magi, as the Bible talks about, was about 2 years later. But swaddling clothes, why in a cave in Bethlehem, where many of the sheep were brought in when it was cool or cold weather, and the people that were watching, the little shepherds that were watching them, why would they go into these caves? And here's Mary and Joseph, no room for them in the inn. And it wasn't because they were poor. Probably they were late getting to Bethlehem. And so there was no place for the inn. But Rick Renner talks about, from a historical side of this, that they went farther back into the cave, and that there was little troughs that were there and created even in the sides of the cave. And they were like a cement or whatever the cave was made out of, small. But the reason there were those little places for a sheep, the lamb, the perfect lambs, they would take pieces of cloth and wrap their legs so they would still be perfect when it was time for sacrifice. And so there were always swaddling clothes in those caves. Mary wrapped Jesus in swaddling clothes, for that was meant for lambs, and Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Yeah, Bethlehem, bread, all these things, the swaddling clothes, and really, I saw a picture of someplace on television where it was about like this and about this wide, and that was what they would put those small lambs in to keep them safe for the time for them to be sacrificed. The original word was also used to depict wrapping the little legs of newborn lambs. As such, these strips of cloth would have been available in the cave where Jesus was born. Caves of that kind were the primary barns and stables of Bethlehem. Even the caves to the countryside were used by shepherds as shelter for themselves and the flocks. In typical caves near Bethlehem, animals would have been sheltered inside on the night where Jesus was born. Most likely little lambs were among them. Because Jesus born in a cave that also sheltered little lambs, it is probable the strips of cloth or swaddling clothes were available for Mary to wrap Jesus with that were normally used to wrap the legs. But Mary would have used them to bundle up baby Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. This means Jesus' appearance on the earth symbolically foreshadowed the purpose of his coming, that he was born to be the Lamb of God and to take away the sins of the world. In fact, John the Baptist prophetically declared Jesus to be the Lamb of God, Jesus to be the Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the earth. 1 Peter 1:19 also calls Christ a lamb without blemish and without spot. Revelation 5:12 refers to this lamb as the lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing. Also, Revelation 13:8 speaks of Jesus as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This signature title of our Savior as the Lamb of God makes the terms swaddling clothes extremely significant in the Christmas story, because he is the little Lamb of God was placed in a lamb's swaddling clothes at his birth. Hallelujah. There was no room for them in the end. There was no room for them in the end. Religious traditions imply the reason Mary and Joseph ended up in the cave with animals is that they were too poor for a human. However, this isn't true. Joseph wasn't poor at all. Chapter 3 shows that contrary to what religious tradition says, Joseph was not poor. He was likely well compensated for his employment. And he probably had financial resources available. So why was there no room for him in the inn? And then it goes on and talks about the story of people getting there before they did. Took some long to get to Bethlehem. I've been in caves in the Judean countryside that were used as a place of refuge for shepherds and their flocks. Seeing them makes it easy to understand why one of them would have been an ideal refuge for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Did you see that? This is a little side note. The other night on television, it was some famous person with a football team, and King Charles from England and his wife had attended and watched, and so forth. And somebody asked him, "What? How did you feel about having royalty come to your game?" And he said, "Oh, you mean Jesus and Joseph and Mary?" He said, "That's the royalty." I mean, he just right there on camera testified to who the real royalty was in this earth. I thought, I just wanted to stand up and shout. Yes. And he just was real dry about it. He wasn't smiling or making fun of him. He just said, "The only royalty I know." And then he named him. Hallelujah. The place where Jesus was born is located just below the present-day church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It can still be accessed by visitors who must descend a flight of stairs from either side of the cathedral's main level. A bronze star is inset in the ground to mark the place where the birth of Jesus took place 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Although the site seems religiously decorated by church and by worshipers who have come there over the past two millennia to see this special place, it is well dominated by Christian writers from the earliest times that Christ really was born there. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's just a little bit. Honey, will you pull that book out of there? I want you, if anybody has a chance to get one of these, it will, oh, there is so much. It's absolutely beautiful. It looks like this. And every page is decorated like this. And there's some beautiful pictures in here of the shepherds here. This is the shepherds. What is a multitude of heavenly hosts? I mean, she's just a treasure. And to tell the background of some of what these words mean and so forth gives so much more meaning to the Christmas story. But anyway.
That's awesome.
That's a beautiful book.
Yeah. Yes, Rick Renner. I think I got it on a special markdown, I think, of 39 before it even came into production. But I know they're charging 49 something for it. But it's a treasure. Yeah, it's done so well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this sermon could be called Et Cetera, because I have a few et ceteras. Is that all right? Okay, all right. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of recently I was invited by a Mennonite church to fill in the pulpit. Their pastor went on, sabbatical leave, and he didn't His leave lasted a long time. He never came back. And so, anyway, for 10 years, my friend, it's her church, has tried to get me into their church. Well, I was too loud and too noisy and too full of this Holy Ghost stuff. And so they wouldn't allow me in. But this summer, they called me, not Anita, my friend, but somebody called me and said, we need you to come, and we need you to come. And she repeated, we need you to come, Sharon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, they got desperate enough to have Sharon, I'll just say it that way. Isn't that a wonderful way to be recognized? Too wild, you know, kind of thing. But the Mennonite Church, my experience with the Mennonite Church has been at the when FCOC, or Faith Christian Center, was started in Mount Pleasant, and it just grew really fast. 40% of the church were Spirit-filled Mennonite people that really knew the Word of God. And so I expected every Mennonite church to be that way. That church that I ministered in that day were trying to make a decision whether they were going to allow LGBT people in their pulpit, or whether they were going to go with basically the Word of God. And so I said, Lord, I got to know the Word here. I got to know what to preach this people. And Lord, you got to calm me down a little bit and so forth, so I don't scare them. But anyway, I said, the Lord gave me this title. Do you want to please God? Boy, when I gave that, every hand went up. So, do you believe that homosexuality and LGBT and all of this is mentioned in the Bible? Yes. And do they say it's a good thing? No. You got your answer about how you want your church to run. Because half of the church wanted that in their, even in the pulpit. And 3 years ago, they had invited a Muslim cleric to come to their church and explain their language, their religion. And I knew then they were in trouble, really deep trouble. You allow that kind of thing to come from your pulpit. But anyway, we had to say to them, I have a niece, Gary has a niece, living a homosexual lifestyle. I said, we have had to tell when we were asked by the parents or by the nieces themselves, we will always love you till the day we die. You are our nieces. We love you. However, we will never, never, ever embrace your lifestyle. But we still love you. And that's what we've got to do with these people. These people, to be real, what I have seen in the Spirit, many of the people that go to that lifestyle are really hungering and thirsting. They just don't know what they're hungering and thirsting for. And if we're bold enough to be that, to be just to ask people, like when I was in the hospital and people got to recognize me, I'd walk, the doctor walk in, people, nurses, I said, you know, Jesus, I did more evangelizing in the hospital than I had done in a lot of years. Because, you know, and then they investigated me. I found this out. They found out, did she really sing before Oral Roberts? Did she do this? Did she do that? She been in there? And they found out it was all true. So then they had more crowds of people. Well, in Columbia, Missouri, it's a teaching hospital. And so the nurses that were studying there had to do tech duties, they called it. And so they would come in and ask me questions about the Word. And so one time I think they must have got caught, but they, for a couple of days they didn't come in quite so often. But anyway, this one girl, she said, can I hug you? I said, yeah, it'll wear off on you if you just hug me here. And then she laughed. You know, you just need to be real with people. Just be real, loving, and kind. That's right. That's right. That's what one of the people in that congregation, that Mennonite church, one of my friends knew him, and he said, well, how did you enjoy your Sundays? Well, she was kind of wild, but, you know, we got through it. So now they're making a decision as a church. They're just split almost down the middle, see. But you, when you're full of it, I used to, for 1 year, I thought, what are you full of? What are you full of? Hallelujah. God's a good God. He's for us. He wants us to win. That's the one scripture that kept going through my mind through this past year has been this, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Sharon, now lives in you, and it will quicken your mortal body. Yes. It will quicken your mortal body. Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. For those of you who've not heard me or knew who I was or anything, I'm an exhorter, the very beginning of the church, the very, very part. The exhorter was recognized as a part of the prophetic gift, but with a lesser gift of teaching, inciting people to action. In other words, you get off your blessed assurance and go do what God told you to do. See, you get this, a lot of the same stuff coming out. If I come 3 or 4 times a year, you will understand that I am trying to get something to, because I'll say it over and over again. I'm exhorting you to be what God called you to be. I think I'm just finding out what God really has called me to. And if it hadn't been for this man that I lived with for 63 years, I couldn't have done. I had constant go for it. Go for it. And I thank God for that. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a really et cetera time. Et cetera. Yes, Lord. What can you give me about 20 minutes? Okay. In Psalms 115:14. Oh, God. This is so good. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Right now, I'm fighting for this nation because I don't want my children or my grandchildren and my 17 great-grandchildren now to live in a world that's not like what we've been raised in. I want them to know what it's like to live in a free country. But may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Every day I pray for protection, provision, wisdom and favor, clarity and accuracy in the Holy Ghost, health, wealth, money cometh to all. And I name our children, their mates, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the present and the future mates of all the grandchildren. Not one of them will dare to leave this earth without knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then I get into my family and Gary's family and these people that I don't even know. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. See, every one of you has got an assignment about your area or your expertise to pray for. Every one of us. And boy, you can do such a great thing with your family. Then I name out, oh, dear Jesus, my brother, Dave, Steve, and Jesse, my sister, Becky, and my stepmother, Linda, and then Gary's two sisters, and that, Father, they're not leaving this earth without knowing Jesus Christ. I speak obedience to the people in and around them to speak a word of salvation so they have every opportunity to accept Jesus before they leave this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But God wants you to increase. If I were to sum up the will of God for our lives in one word, I might choose the word increase. Increase. Say, I'm going to increase. In my money? In my ministry? And knowing God better, more. His ways, His purposes. I want to increase. Hallelujah. He wants us to increase spiritually and physically in health and strength. He wants us to increase in blessings of every kind. That means no matter how successfully we are of walking in love up to this point to our lives, God can increase us. And I sense this 82-year-old woman is increasing. Can you say to your little self, I'm increasing. I refuse to quit. See, we ain't got bold yet or peculiar. The world thinks we're a little strange. But praise God, I'm going to get stranger. Glory to God. Actually, I found that what it means to the things of the Spirit, we're never stationary. Spiritually, we're never stationary. We're always either moving forward or slipping back. That today, because by this time now, I'm getting my jammies on to go to bed most of the time since this thing has come over me. But in Jesus' name, I am getting stronger. Amen. I'm getting stronger. I'm going to increase. Amen. I'm not afraid of what the world might say or do about me. See, until that thing dies in you about who you think you are, but you know who God has meant you to be. You're stepping into that place. You're fulfilling all that God's put you on the earth to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Increasing. He'll be perpetually increasing our spiritual strength. As a result, our lives will bear ever more abundant fruit, and marked with ever increasing blessings. Gary Bunnell said to me the other, three, 4 weeks ago, he said, I want to sow some seed. Okay. I said, where are we going to sow it? Well, we had a relative that was having a hard time with the situation with his car and so forth. And he's been going through heart stuff and all that. So he decided we're going to give him $1,000. Oh, okay, Lord. All right, Lord. I believe you want to bless our seed. He wants to see increase come from that seed. So I said, okay, God. You know our finances. You know what. Anyway, we just believed for it. Gave him money. That following Sunday, I ministered at church. And they gave me an offering of $700, which is about five times more than what they usually give me. And I'm thinking, dear Jesus, because I've had things given to me. From two plates of chocolate chip cookies to $7,000. So you just choose in there which one you're going to give me. And you know about that, don't you? Yeah. But anyway, so that was $700. We're getting our $1,000 back. And because they've put it on the internet, the recording and my strange and exuberant personality, and somebody gave another $500. In other words, in 3 days after we sowed seed, we got it back. So if you want to increase, don't be so... Thank you. Say that word again. Oh, okay, all right. Well, I didn't say it. You did. God wants to increase you, even in your finances, even though eggs are almost $5 a carton or whatever it was. But God has a plan. And you younger ones, God has got a wonderful plan for the young people. I just, every time I see it, I just rejoice. You're winning, you young people are winning thousands of people. Thousands of people, because you're not afraid, you're not ashamed or anything of who you are, even though your daddy, you know, is who he is, kind of thing. And daddy's a good guy. But you're going to be win people to the Lord Jesus. You and your whole generation, honey. You and your whole generation. Hallelujah. It's increase. I want our kids doing more. Grandkids doing more than what I've ever accomplished. And God only knows. Thank you, Lord. I won't go into that. Thank you, Lord. Increase. Say increase. In other hand, if we go for days without the word or spending time in prayer, we'll start losing ground. Amen. Every day, family, every day. And God so loves for you to say thank you. That's one of the ways where the enemy gets into your mind, is you have ingratitude in your heart. Don't let that happen. God wants to increase you in everything you do. The devil doesn't take a vacation. He puts pressure on us some way every day. So if we're not actively keeping in contact with God, the devil begins to get the upper hand. We won't notice, oh, yes, I'm going to church, uh-huh, yeah, we're giving. Well, most of the time we tithe, you know. But you see, you're either constantly going ahead or you're falling back. God wants you to keep going forward. So if we're not actively keeping in contact with God, the devil begins to get the upper hand. Our flesh starts to take dominion. Now, since 2010, I've written down everything I put in my mouth because I was whipping this thing called what I ate. Dear Jesus. So anyway, I lost about 50 pounds. And then COVID took another 20 off. Now I'm trying to get the rest of the 20 pounds that are left off. And my nieces and nephews are saying, Sharon, you'll show your wrinkles quicker if you lose any more weight. And I said, well, thank you for your great confession over me. I'm going to increase and I will look prettier than ever. Because, not because of Sharon, but because of the light of God that wants to shine. Wants to shine. It makes you look really good. Holy Ghost makes you look good. Amen. It comes out sincere, honest, and so forth. Hallelujah. Am I always this way? Not always, but I try to be always. Now, that wasn't a very good confession, Sharon. Anyway, so if we're not actively keeping in contact with God, the devil gets the upper hand. If we continue like that, going about our business and giving God not giving God time, the first thing you know, we find ourselves in trouble of some kind. And that's what I want to talk to you about in the morning, is about the attacks that are trying to come on the body of Christ right now. Hallelujah. If we continue like that, just going about our business, not giving God any time, the first thing you know, we find ourselves in trouble of some kind. We'll pray and beg God for help all the whole while, feeling like he isn't even listening to us. His problem, however, isn't in his failure to listen to us. It's our failure to listen to him. That's why we need to stay in living contact with him daily. That's why we need to pray and seek his face, not just when we're in trouble, but all the time. You know about that, don't you? You in the black and white checkered shirt. You know about that, don't you? Uh-huh. Praise God. Maintaining our fellowship with God is the most important thing we'll ever do. It's the most important thing. If we'll make it our first priority, we will experience his wonderful will for our lives. Oh, dear Jesus. His wonderful will for our lives. We'll keep on increasing more and more in spirit, soul, and body. We'll keep growing in victory every single day. Hallelujah. Now, turn off the bass a little bit on that Mannheim steamroller. Now let's begin to sing the Hallelujah chorus. That's how to end the night, talking about the Christmas story, okay? And all the et ceteras that Sharon gave to. Praise God. Stand up. Wake yourself up. Wake up. Hallelujah. Did you hear anything? Okay. What did you hear?
Increase.
What else? It's about who you know. That's right. That's good, Jason. That's good. Yeah. Amen. That's right. If we're not going for it, your spiritual walk never just stays stagnant. It either going ahead or going back.
If it's not alive in you, you can't bring life to anybody else.
That's right. And Gary Crowell said to me years ago, he said, Sharon, people will probably tell you that you don't minister like anybody else. But if God's telling you to do it that way, continue doing it that way. Because I enjoy you, he said. I thought it was pretty. But that encouraged me. I'm not like anybody else. I don't give you three fast and two slows, a spurt of prophecy, and go home. It's not enough. It's more. Okay, crank her up. And I want you to at least move your feet, stomp your hands, or stomp your hands, stomp your hands, do something. I'm glad that it's Christmas time. I'm thankful that he's still around. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. This bunch of people on Saturday night love you, Father, and we so want to begin to sing and shout, hallelujah! Our Jesus has been born. Our Savior has been born. Thank you, Father. We lift our hands to you tonight, Father. What this familiar piece has been played for many, many years, but Father, help us to realize the words of the hallelujah chorus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Rejoicing, Father. All over this room right now. Rejoicing in the goodness of God. Just send us a Savior. Send us a Savior. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, this is a little bit older group. You need to make a little noise over here. Yeah, la la, my soul, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah, yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, da so no ramasa. Yeah, la na na so ramasa. Ila na na so so. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It gets better and better. Gets better, Father. Hallelujah. Bato so con rabate. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, the name that's above every name. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you this Christmas season. We'll be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father. You let it down, son. You let the muscle come to the day. Yes, you let the muscle come down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Advocate, anointed, beloved, bridegroom Jesus, captain, covenant, deliverer, Daystar Jesus, elect, everlasting friend, and faithful Jesus, governor, gift of God, hope, head of the church, Jesus. Say his name again. Jesus. Say it aloud. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Now, Father, I thank you.
Government is on your shoulders.
Yes, yes. Keep going. Keep going. Praise you, Father. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yes. See, heaven ain't got nothing on us, folks, because we're a rejoicing church. Some of you are going to get it. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and start praising God because you didn't lift your praises here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We are here to call you holy. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Now grab somebody's hand. Grab somebody's hand. Everybody holding somebody's hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, such a sweet, sweet spirit. Such, and Father, an energy. Lord, you're giving the body of Christ energy. Energy. And may it be from this time until rapture, or, Father, we leave this place and go on to eternal life with you. Wherever, Father, may the strength and the energy be in every part of their body, spirit, soul, and flesh man. But Father, your spirit has the ascendancy in each one of us if and when we take the time with you to spend with you, to hear your voice, and a stranger we will not follow. Thank you, Father God, for this group of people. Oh, full of food, sitting here wanting to sleep. And Lord, our spirit took charge and began to rise up. And so, Father, may that be true on the Sunday morning services in all across this land, Father, that there be a stirring of the Holy Spirit, a stirring of the Holy Spirit to rejoice as just as though they had walked into heaven and with the angels, with the angels, with the angels, Father, rejoiced. Bless God, bless God, bless God. Now, Father, we speak to the person to the left of us. We speak to the person to the right of us. And we pray for them, Father. Every need is met. Everything that is needed, anything that's been stirred up in them tonight, they'll be faithful to complete it. They'll not leave this earth without pouring out everything that you have given on the inside of them. And turn all those anointed used car salesmen, turn to the gifting that was given to them to preach the gospel, not to sell cars. Are just selling the wrong product. Help them, Father, to know your plan. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. The plans to give you a future and a hope. Plans to prosper you. And so, Father, may I speak prosperity into this room tonight, Father. And it's not just money. It's prosperity in every part of your being. And that they begin to realize, I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I have a mind, a soulish realm, but I am a spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for no more backtracking, no more sitting down, letting somebody else do it, and I'm too old. I stir up the spirit man in those who are Gary and I's age. Father, that in the name of Jesus, we refuse to quit. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said a hearty amen.
Amen.
Now look at him and tell him, you sure needed this tonight.
Glory to God. Glory
Hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, you have something to say. I'll hold the microphone so you don't talk to it all.
This is a little bit different in the flavor of what we're talking about, but I think the same thing about the nearness of the Lord God. And sometimes, you know, in the middle of the night, like probably you all, I get woken up by the Spirit. And sometimes I think too much about the darkness of the night. But and when I want to pray, sometimes I can't even think what to pray for. You know, I get stuck in my throat somehow. And so what I've learned to do is, like in Gethsemane, I just look for Jesus. And all he asks is that I stay awake with him and cry with him and celebrate with him in those intimate times of loneliness and become connection and unity with him.
Yeah. Intercession. Yeah. Intercession. Intercession. There's many times the Lord will wake me up in the middle of the night, and I won't know necessarily who or what to pray. But and sometimes there's tears, sometimes there's laughter. But you see, intercession, God's calling many people into that intercessory realm. If you don't believe me, go watch Dutch Sheets on 9:30 in the morning on his website. He will bless you with a 15-minute spiritual speaking to you, speaking to your spirit. He's talking right now about communion. Gary and I have begun to have communion every morning before we eat food. If I'm really a spirit, I need to feed my spirit first, yes, not my flesh. And so, in the name of Jesus, if you know that intercession, that God's dealing with you about intercession, just tonight, right now, nobody looking around, say, "That's me, Sharon. That's me." If you know that God's calling you into intercession, if that's you, yes, just obey and begin to listen to hear what God would speak to you and who to pray for, what to pray for. We need to be praying for our nation. I remind you again, there's that watchman's thing back there on the where the music is, and I read it every day. I read it every day. Blessings, blessings, and more blessings. I said I would be through in 20 minutes. I've taken more of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get anything out of this tonight? Yeah. I think we all see, it's something you've already heard. The exhorter is just stirring it up.
Glory to glory.
From glory to glory, he's taking us, yes. Well, Pastor, I'll turn it back to you.